Over the past number of years, and especially the last number of months, I could not even begin to remember all of the prophecies, tongues and interpretations, or all the visions and dreams that the Lord has given to this place and to the people in this church about revival and soul winning and God's restoration for the church. Here a few days ago, someone reminded me of a dream one of our ladies in our church had. Sister June Rutledge, I don't think, is here tonight. I had forgotten her testimony of a dream or a vision the Lord had given to her. She had seen a great crowd of people, and the crowd seemed to be either all of or basically made up of infants or babies or small children. And she saw in the midst of all this children leading children, or babies leading babies. None of us could really have understood that. That has been a number of years ago, and I had forgotten that. But none of us really could have understood that until we have come to the place where we are. I can tell you tonight that what God is doing in this place is beyond our imagination. The visitations of the Lord, the miracles, just simply what took place in this church Sunday night is beyond our imagination. I have never been a part of anything quite like what the Lord is doing in my life and in the midst of the people of this place. I have told you before, and I'm going to say again tonight, that all of this that He is doing is nothing but a preparation for restoration. What you're seeing take place now is wonderful indeed. It is powerful, and it is exciting. But when you compare this to total restoration revival, this within itself is just a small preview. And I thank God for it all. You can sit there tonight as you're sitting there now and not open your mouths, and you're not going to affect anything that I have to say tonight. I'm going to preach whether you're moved or not, because I've been affected by it. Hallelujah. But this incident came up. I was asked the question, what does it mean? Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter therein and shall not be able. The Scripture in verse 25 seems to agree with the Scripture that I have been reading in the book of Matthew chapter 25. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. Know not whence you are. And He said, when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. And He said, then multitudes are going to come from the east, west, and north, and south. And they're going to sit down in the kingdom of God. But He said, you yourselves are going to be thrust out. In one place, He said it like this. He referred to them as the children of the kingdom that were cast out in the book of Matthew. And the question was asked, what does that mean? That people would come from all four quarters of the compass, all directions of the compass, and sit down in the kingdom of God, but then the children of the kingdom were going to be cast out. Jesus said that. That is not a theory or some personal opinion from Brother Shirdy. Jesus Himself said it. I want to go back a little further with you And I want to present to you the message that God has given to me. First off, I'd like to pick up a little portion of Matthew 25, a little further along in the chapter than just the 10 virgins. In verse 14, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he gave unto one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." To keep from reading the whole parable, let me just simply say to you that the man who had 5 talents went out and worked and gained 5 more. The man who had 2 talents went out and worked and gained 2 more. But the man that had 1 talent went and hid his in the earth and waited until his Lord came back. When the Lord returned, the one who had 5 talents came to him and said, "Lord, here are your 5 talents. Let me read it something like he said. He said it like this: when he had received 5 talents, came the one who received it, and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' Then the one who had 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you gave me 2 talents, and I have gained 2 more. And instead of 2, now I am bringing to you 4. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" We don't find a contest or any spirit of competition between the man who had 5 and the one who had 2 and the one that simply had 1 talent. There was no spirit of competition. The Bible said he gave to them according to their several of their ability. I believe God is giving to you and I everything he can trust us with. It is his will to distribute to his church the power and authority and results of the kingdom that he has come to establish in the hearts and lives of men and women. Hallelujah. Then the man who had 1 talent came. He made his confession. He said, "I was afraid. I know that you're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not strowed. I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast, that is thine." The Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked." What did he do? Was he an adulterer? No. Did he fall for false doctrine? No. Did he leave the church? No. Did he start dressing or appearing in some ungodly appearance? No. He did none of those things. All he did was take what he had and put it to store. He simply covered it up and let it grow stale. What did Jesus say to him? "Thou wicked, wicked and slothful servant. You knew what manner of person I was. You ought to have taken my money to the exchangers. Then when I came, I would have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to the one that has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hallelujah. Hear me. The apostle said he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That we are children of the day and not of the night. That we are the light of the world and we are not children of darkness. But simply because this man hid his 1 talent in the earth, what was his penalty? What was his judgment? He was simply released back into the darkness that he came out of. He was simply abandoned. He was simply sent into darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth because he did not use what he had. Then I hear another parable that Jesus said. This also in the book of Matthew chapter 7. He talks about, and we use the parable and the story of the wise man and the foolish man so very often. Jesus said it like this in 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You workers, depart from me, you worker, or ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that built a house on the rock. On a rock, he said, and when the storm, when the winds came, and the rain fell, and the storm beat on that house, it's going to stand, and nothing shall shake it. Why was he different? The next man, the Bible said, he said, I will liken the man who heard my word and did not do it unto a man that built his house on the sand. And when the rains came and the wind and it beat upon that house, it didn't only fall, but great was the fall of that house. What was the difference in the wise and the foolish man? Simply, one man heard the message preached and did it. And the other heard the message preached and did not do it. Who are they? They're still the children in the bride chamber. They're still those who are sitting there watching and waiting. What's going to happen? They sat down to watch him there at Calvary after he was crucified. Hallelujah. Almighty God, and now we have it. The children of the kingdom cast out. And they came from the east and the west and the north and the south. And they sat down in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you pounded on the door saying, Lord, let us in. And he said, I don't know who you are. But Lord, don't you understand? We were there. We did prophesy in your name. Did prophesy. We did cast out devils. We did many wonderful works. I could almost hear Jesus say, how many years ago? How long ago? How long has it been? How long have you been just kind of sitting around with your talent hitting the earth? How long ago? I could say, Lord, I used to preach with power. Lord, I used to pray an hour. Or Lord, I've run the aisles. I've danced in the aisles, Lord. I've spoken tongues. I've prophesied. But I can hear Jesus say, how long ago? How long ago? How long has it been since you have had a brand new anointing in your life? Hallelujah. Everybody clap their hands and give the Lord a hand clap offering together. Hallelujah! Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Give me just a little more power somewhere, Brother Shelton. I don't want to blow anybody away, but I don't want to fight it either. Hallelujah! Somebody say amen. I am here to tell you tonight again that God is getting the church, the body of Christ, ready for a mighty visitation. I want to be a part of it. I have been in the church too long now to be left out of it. I don't want to be left out of this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you taking it for granted? Are you just kind of sitting around like the man with his talent in the earth? Are you just sitting around like the man who built his house on the sand? Are you just kind of sitting still and saying, it's around here and I can get in it when I get ready? Hallelujah. Praise God. The message that I want to preach to you tonight is this. yesterday's heroes. Yesterday. I told someone to look at some of you sitting here in this place tonight and to characterize you or to put you in the category of yesterday's heroes could almost insult you. And I am not insulting you. I want you to know yesterday's heroes are valuable to us today. That is not a put down to you. To put you or myself in the category of a hero of yesterday is not an insult to you. It is important. I'm here to tell you tonight, the church would not be where it is today if it had not been for some heroes of faith and prayer and obedience and faithfulness and giving and serving yesterday and the yesterdays that are gone by. Hallelujah. I'm looking at some people in this place tonight. No doubt there are people in this place that have had the Holy Ghost more than 20 years or 30 years, maybe 40 years or longer than that. You are here. There are many of you here tonight who are the foundation saints, Pentecostals, if you please. You're the ones who prayed back years ago. I know I was there. I was a youngster in the church coming up. My roots are in this thing. I've been around it a long time. It hasn't always been like it is right now. It's different now. So many of our people and our preachers in the process of God changing our attitudes and changing our minds and changing our understanding of His will in our lives have dropped off the deep end and changed His doctrine and changed His structure. They have changed His standards. They have changed His truth. That's not what God intended. He intended for us to be flexible enough that we could be changed in our spirits and our concept of the will of God in our lives in this last day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to lose it now. I don't want to miss it now. I'm not merely in this because I have some kind of image to live up to for your sakes. I am not going to the prayer room just simply because I want you to see me there. I'm not trying to find some dynamic sermon to preach to you simply because you'll think I'm a good preacher. I have come too close. I have come too far to lose it now. I don't want to lose it now. Are you hearing me? I don't believe a one of you sitting out there tonight are any closer to God than I am. I hope you are. But what I'm saying to you, I realize how easy it would be for me to lose it now. I don't want to lose it now. I don't want to end my life. And I don't want the eulogy or the statement on my tombstone to be stenciled into that brass or into that granite and say, "He died a hero of yesterday." I don't want to be one of yesterday's heroes. That's gone. If there are any heroes of faith, let me be one of them today. If there are any heroes of prayer, let me be one of them today. I don't care. Hallelujah. I don't care. I in just a few days, Sister Shirley and I will celebrate 25 years of pastoring. My life goes back to 13 years old when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Called me to preach at 15 years old. I'll soon be 49. I guess that's something like 36 years ago that God gave me the Holy Ghost. But do you think this guy is going to come in here and act like he's acting and I'm not going to be part of it? You're not going to get all this. Why? Not because he ought not get what he needs, but because I refuse to be yesterday's hero. I don't want to be nothing but a thing of our history and of our past. Hallelujah. Understand with me again. There are people, I listened to Mark Hemby. I think it was he the first time who made a statement, and I thought it was one of the coldest, cruelest statements that I'd ever heard made before. And yet, when I considered the truth of his statement, I knew what he was saying was right. He said there are people who come into the church that they never amount to any more in the church than just being like a scaffolding to build the wall. They don't stay. They don't last. They don't do anything. But you use them to promote the structure and to carry on the work. I don't think I've ever made that statement. If I have, It's been so long that I have forgotten that I've ever made it. Scaffolding. I don't want to just be a temporary part. I don't want to just be an outside temporary addition. I want to be part of the wall. I want to be part of something that stays. Something that sticks. I look around tonight and I see people. There are people in this church who have been a part of this thing for 40 years, 30, 25, 30, 40 years, and I know that. You don't know how valuable you are to us today. You don't understand. I don't believe anybody in the world loves older saints any more than this preacher does. Nobody loves older preachers any more than I do. I love yesterday's heroes. I tell you tonight, I've made this statement, and I say it again. I couldn't be preaching in the place that I'm preaching in tonight. We wouldn't have the kind of progress and results and revival that we're having tonight if Brother Hemphill had not set the right kind of foundation, put the right things in somebody's heart. I'm telling you, he was a hero of yesterday and a hero of the day he lived until he died. Yesterday's heroes. You have to decide where you stand. You see, if I should tell you tonight that in the 10 years of my being a part of this church, that the church has grown to the state that all of our heroes of yesterday are outnumbered 10 to 1, it's going to get worse than that. It's going to be 20 to 1. And then it's going to be 50 to 1. And then it might be 100 to 1. Who knows? But that's what you prayed for. That's what you ask God for. If you have the Holy Ghost during those days, you ask God for revival. You ask God for harvest. You read it in that book. Let me tell you something. There's a bunch of us living here tonight that I'll speak for myself, and I know I can speak for some others. I never thought I'd see happening what God's doing to the church today. We use a statement sometimes. This blows my mind. I've never seen so many people get the Holy Ghost day after day, night after night in my life as I've seen God do in this place. Right here. But I'm here to tell you, it hasn't always been that way. It hasn't always been that way. Brother Darren, you don't understand this. Mike, you don't understand this. And a whole lot of new people don't understand this. It hasn't always been this way. You see, I was raised in a period of time when if somebody would have acted like Brother Mike Nicotel acts sometimes and praying. Listen, buddy, if my old pastor had saw me laying hands on somebody praying for him, he'd have collared me and drugged me in the back room and straightened me out in a minute. They didn't allow that kind of stuff. You better not even get near that bottle of oil. That was blasphemy. And somebody to stand up and give a prophecy and tongues and interpretation, I'm telling you, we lived under restrictions. It was somebody saying, God, somewhere in the midst of all this is a revival. And we're asking for it. We're praying for it. We didn't have a prayer room in the church that I grew up in. How many of you know what blackjacks are? Y'all don't know what black... I'm not talking about a club. Blackjack trees. In Florida, where I grew up, little old scrubby oaks that never did get big enough or nothing. They called them blackjack oaks. In a sand bed, that was our prayer room. That was our prayer room. And we didn't care who heard it. We didn't have nice cars. And we didn't have nice clothes. We didn't have a nice place to live. But we were the heroes of yesterday. Because we stayed with it. And we prayed until God gave us this. You got to understand what I'm talking about. You got to understand. I told someone, same person, the people that have been a part of this church 20, 30, or 40 years, it is harder for me and them to accept what God is doing than it is for you. You don't know the other side. You don't know what we came from. You don't even understand what we've had to fight to get to where we are. Let me tell you where I was raised. Brother Shelton Leverin was almost born on a Pentecostal pew. I don't know if he even remembers any of this stuff. But I was raised in an old country church, and friend about... I remember when we finally graduated from a Stella guitar to a Gibson. Y'all don't remember that, huh? And friend, when one of the guys showed up with a Martin, I mean, we felt like the Lord had sent it to him from heaven almost. String guitars, upright bass, mandolins, and usually more than one string guitar, flat top guitar, electric guitars. We didn't have pianos. Organ was for nothing but Baptist folks. You didn't bring an organ in a Pentecostal church. That was for somebody else. Stacks of keyboards. We didn't have drums. Someone said the other day, it's hard to readjust to the kind of music we have in the church now. I mean, we've changed. Am I the only one that believes that? We've gone through some changes. Hallelujah. Yeah, I remember we didn't have air conditioning. Y'all remember that? You didn't have pews, you had benches. And they'd bite a hole in your clothes and meet with it. I've tore more holes in the seat of my pants on nails that worked their way out of an old pine bench than I want to remember. We've come a long way. God has blessed us. I'm telling you. I look back in those years and I see some heroes. Heroes. They believed it then. They believe it now. They still believe the God of yesterday is the God of today. That He has not changed. God's church has not changed. And we're going to carry on. Hallelujah. You think for a minute. You think for a minute that we've come this far. And we've waited this long. And we're going to get left out of it now. Not on your life, honey. I want to see it through. I don't want to quit now. We've come too far along this old dusty road to stop now. I want all of it. I don't want a little part of it. I want all of it. Hallelujah. Almighty God. And the Lord spoke to me while laying on that bed in my bedroom. And He said, you go tell the church. I said that I don't want them to be yesterday's heroes. I don't want them to live on their past and where they've come from. They have got to change their minds and they've got to change their attitudes and understand what my will is today, 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 today. I tell you tonight that you that have been around this thing all of your life, 30, 40, 50 years, ever how long, you're just as important to the church as these brand new babies that prayed through a day, a week, a month, or a year ago. You mean just as much to the body of Christ as they do. Do you intend to sit back and sit still because they're excited? They're full of a brand new experience. Do you intend to sit back and let them have it? If you sit back and let them have it, they're going to have it. They're going to take it. They're going to be babies leading babies. Babies teaching babies. You've got to decide. You don't want to be yesterday's hero. Almighty God. I don't want to preach you a sermon. I want to get your heart. Your heart. Don't you understand what Jesus is saying? You are the children of the kingdom. You're the ones that's supposed to have it. You're the ones that's supposed to rejoice in it. You're supposed to see it. You're supposed to understand it. You're the foundation saints. Let me explain to you what the Lord gave me. In the midst of all that, there was a time when Israel, old story, they were slaves and bondmen in Goshen in the land of Egypt. Listen to me carefully. Everybody hear me tonight. Please don't let me lose you now. But there was a time in their bondage, they had reached a place that they had taken all they could stand. The Bible said they cried out to God. They sought Him by reason of their taskmasters. They lifted up their voice and wept, asking God for deliverance. For deliverance. They were the heroes of yesterday. Do you hear me? They didn't quit. They were in trouble and they needed God. And they sought God until God sent them a deliverer. They prayed and sought God until Moses came. And when Moses came, they followed him out of Egypt, through the sea, into the wilderness, and across the wilderness, even though they grumbled and complained at every turn. But the Lord spoke to me and said, they prayed for a deliverer. I gave them a deliverer. And He brought them to the brink of their promise. And they rejected Him and went back in their hearts. You may miss that. They asked God for deliverance. He sent them a deliverer. And they stayed with Him just long enough to get to the gate. Are you with me? They followed Him right up to the crossing. And they took one look at the promise and went back. Then Jesus said, there was another day when all of Israel spoke to one another quietly. And they said, when Messiah comes, it's going to be different. 400 years during the period of time, during that period of time that we call the Dark Ages, in a time when there was no preaching and no prophets and there was no power, no demonstration of God. 400 years, they declared that Messiah will come. And everywhere they talked, when they talked about their troubles, when they talked about their needs, when they talked about their problems, they said, but Messiah is going to come. Some of you are not hearing what I'm saying. And they sought Him. And they waited on Him. And Messiah came. And when Messiah came, they followed Him right up to the gate. They rejected Him at the gate. They left Jesus to die at the cross. And they rejected Him at the entrance of a new covenant. And a whole new experience. And the Lord spoke to me and He said this. Are you that have been around here all these years and you've asked God for a move and a visitation and an anointing? You are the heroes of yesterday. Have you come so close to the entrance of restoration, power, harvest, miracle signs and wonders? Will you come this far and then reject what you prayed for at the entrance? That's God's message to you tonight. Maybe you'll just have to think about it a while. And you'll have to decide, do you just want to be yesterday's hero? Or do you want to be a part of the promise of God? How many times has God hammered on our hearts in the last few days? They were wise and foolish. Foolish and wise. And the thing that separated the foolish and the wise was the foolish knew it and didn't do it. The foolish had access to it and didn't get it. The foolish sat around idle and did nothing about it. They were part of the church, part of the body, part of the bride chamber, waiting on Him to come. And He called them workers of iniquity. Wicked workers of iniquity. Depart from me. I don't know who you are. Simply because they knew it and didn't do it. They came to church. They were part of the attendance and part of the crowd. But they wouldn't live it. There are people in this place for me, Brother Shelton. I'm not disappointed in the way this is going over tonight. I really am not. I don't know why. I ought to be screaming, raving, because I know God is in this. But somehow I feel at peace about this tonight. And I don't even understand my own feelings. I'm here to tell you tonight, one more time, You still have time. Get it together. I've sat in a deer stand in the fall of the year, and I've watched cat squirrels and fox squirrels pick up acorns and pecans and nuts, scamper across the ground and very quickly dig a little hole in the ground and drop that nut in it, cover it back up, and go run off and get another one. Dozens and dozens of times I've sat there and I've said, now, how in the world will he ever know how to come back to the same spot? The leaves fall, branches fall, debris, the wind tumbles leaves across the ground, and the whole appearance of that landscape takes on a new face. But he never forgets where every nut is, every acorn, every seed. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you put yours in the earth, you know where it is. God built that homing instinct inside your system. Nobody knows where it is but you, because you just happen to be the person that put it there. I think tonight, especially for some of you that have been around this thing a while, you need to get out your spade and you need to go on a treasure hunt. You need to dig it out, brush it off, clean it up, shine it up. And you need to put it to work. Because I'm telling you, what you had yesterday is wonderful, and you help bring us to where we are today. But if you die and the testimony of your life is that you were yesterday's hero, you're going to be part of the crowd that when he comes along, he's going to say, I don't know who you are, but Lord, don't you remember? I gave that prophecy back in 1982. The Lord said, but what have you done lately? Haven't been seeing you in the prayer room. You don't worship anymore. You just come kind of sit in church. And in fact, you kind of got a little mad because those new converts that come into the church, they just acted kind of wild and crazy and acted like they took over everything. So you just sit back. Don't you understand? You brought it this far. You're the people who made it survive. You're the people who kept it alive. Are you going to lose it now at the gate? Will you reject what he's fixing to do at the entrance? You don't understand where we're fixing to go. You can't comprehend, neither can I, what God's going to do. He said, Israel prayed for a deliverer. I gave them a deliverer. And they followed him all the way to the entrance. Then they rejected him. They waited on my coming and they talked about Messiah. And when I came, they followed me through my life until I brought them to the entrance. Then they rejected me at the entrance. And the Lord said, tell them, I don't want them to be yesterday's heroes. And I don't want them to stop at the entrance. I want them to go through. I don't know what kind of changes he's got in store for us. We're not going to change holiness. We're not going to change the doctrine. We're not going to change the plan of salvation. We're not going to change the financial structure. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what he's got in store for us. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I've come too far. And I don't want to be just history. And I don't want to be a hero of yesterday. I want to be right here in the aisle shouting with these kids. I want to be right in the middle of the revival God's giving. I want to be right in the middle of evangelism. I want to be right in the middle of a prayer meeting. I want to be right in the middle of a worship session. I'm not going to be yesterday's hero, friend. We helped bring it here. We helped get it this far. Almighty God. Does anybody understand me? Does anybody understand me? Oh God, I don't know that anybody understands me. when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom and the prophets. And the crowd comes from the north and the south and the east and the west. And they sit down in the kingdom and you see yourself thrust out. And you begin to cry. But Lord, don't you remember? I did it yesterday. I did it yesterday. Lord, I did it yesterday. And He's going to say, I don't even know who you are. Sing a little bit, Brother Shelton. God give you a song. God give Him a song.
Touch me, Lord, one more time with Your Spirit. With Your sweet Spirit, touch me, Lord, one more time. With Your power, oh, for You touched me so many times before. And Lord, I'm asking You once more just to reach down and one more time.
I had no intention of doing this. I just feel like doing it. Somehow I want the Lord to speak to you, Brother Shelton. There's another song. There's something else missing. Think about it. Search the mind of the Spirit. Every one of you in this church that have been in this church, how far should I go back? Let's say that you have been in the church well, let's just say 10 years and older. I could say 20, 30, or 40 years. But those of you that have been in the church, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, 10 years and more, I want you to stand up. Now, I'm going to do something to you. You don't have to do this if you don't want to. Those of you that don't want to be left out in God's restoration revival, I'm going to ask you to come and I want you to stand here. You can sit down if you don't want to do this. The men come stand here and the ladies come stand here. Would you do that right now? Have you got another song yet? There's just something that I'm feeling after, Brother Shelton.
I will give You all. I will give You all. If all is what You ask of me,
come on down real close.
I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving You my very best, help me remember.
You ladies come right down here, will you?
And be
come on, fill up this center section right here. Come down close, man. I've got something I want you to do.
I will give You all. I will give You all. If all is what You ask of me, I'm not with all. And if my sacrifice is less than giving You my very best, help me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes.
Now those of you that have come into the church less than 10 years, I want you to stand up. The Lord has filled you with the Holy Ghost in the last few years. I consider you our infants. I want y'all close so they can come get behind you. Fill, come, ladies, come and fill up the center section. Let's give some room back here. Men, come up close.
I tell you what I want you to do. I'm really fixing to put one on y'all. I want y'all to give them room. And I want this crowd to come up here on the rostrum. I want you to fill up this right up here. Come here. Give them room. Let the ladies come up here. Fill up all this everywhere you can get. And guys, do the same thing over here. Come on up here. Come on, right across here even. Just kind of fill this up. Sing it, Brother Shelton.
Oh, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is living, that is giving you my very best. Help me remember Calvin's love and be willing to say yes.
One more time.
Oh, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not. Be willing to say yes.
Thank God for this section of men and women. You see these people standing down here? You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for these people standing out here. They were yesterday's heroes. They prayed and asked God for your birth. They sought God for you like Hannah did for Samuel. You wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. Those of you that are standing here, these that are up here, this is what you prayed for. And this is such a small crowd compared to the family of this church. It's two or three times this size. But this is what you prayed for. You asked God to do this. Now, here we are. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I couldn't let every one of these give a testimony tonight. But I'm going to tell you this. This crowd is no more important than that crowd. You decide where you stand. Are you going to let these people have it at the crossing? Are you going to let these have it at the gate? The very thing that you prayed for, are you going to reject it at the gate? Somebody told me you were a great writer, that you wrote materials that people are still teaching in their churches. I don't hear anything out of you anymore. You, Shirley, you shouted and worshiped God and danced in the aisles. You're going to give it over to them right at the crossing, at the gate? You have prayed for this. How many more of you can I look at out there today? You ask God for this revival. Now God has brought you this far. You men, sometimes we get hung up on little petty feelings and ideas. You're yesterday's heroes. And I told you, that's not a put down. You're the heroes of yesterday to bring this to where it is. I've got a question to ask you tonight. Are you going to die at being yesterday's heroes? Are you going to be a part of the church today, no matter what it takes? Have you come this far? There is a silent request from all of these that are standing here tonight. If any of you in this crowd believes what I'm fixing to say, you can say it with me. If you don't believe it, just let it alone. I want you to repeat after me. I have a request to make. I want everybody to do it at one time. in this crowd only, just on the people up here. I have a request to make. Let's say it one more time. Say it out loud. I have a request to make. We need you. Don't stop now. And that's what I would like to have said for them. But I believe that's what they're saying to you now. Sing it one more time, Brother Shelton.
I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, help me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say yes.
Oh,
I will give you all.
I will give you all. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I will give oh, yeah. you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less,
you know what I'm hearing today? When some new saint comes along and they hit a tough spot and they crash, I'm hearing more that it's these new babies calling them on the phone and visiting their houses and picking them up, saying, "We miss you. Call on me if you need help. Where you at, Mama? Where are you at, Mama? Where are you, Foundation Church?" Hear me well. If you want to give it to the babies, God will raise up a church and they will come from every quarter, every direction of the compass, and they'll sit down in the kingdom because God's going to have a church in these last days. These people need you. And I'm going to tell you something else. You need them. And not one group's any more important than the other. But tonight, I want you to go home with this ringing in your minds. Will I die yesterday's hero? Or will I go ahead? I prayed for the deliverance and I prayed for the restoration. And will I be a part of the crowd that goes on through the entrance? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Few be that find it. Many are going to seek to enter therein, but there won't be many, Jesus said. It may be tough for us because we have traditional concepts and opinions in our minds. But we can have all of revival we want. I'm going to tell you something. This is a powerful, powerful confrontation tonight. And I'm not apologizing for it, and I don't feel like it's been a hit and miss. I want it to change your minds. I want it to do something to you. Almighty God. I'm going to have this crowd back up. Now I had you down close, and this crowd's going to go down, and we're going to have a neck hugging back up, kind of give them room to get down there. I want us to pray for one another while that crowd sings it again. Sing it, Brother Shelton.
I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, help me remember Calvary. And be willing to say yes. and be willing to.